Hi, I'm Tom Rogers, Vice President of the Qigong Institute. This is the fourth in the Qigong Institute series of podcasts about Qigong. The Qigong Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to Qigong research and education, and to educating the public on the immediate and long-term benefits of Qigong. All officers and directors are volunteers, and there's no paid staff. This podcast is called The Philosophy and Practice of Qigong by Francesco Garipoli. Francesco spent 2 years studying and filming in China while creating the Qigong documentary, Ancient Chinese Healing for the 21st Century, which has been airing for years on PBS. He's an Emmy Award winner and current president of the Qigong Institute. Francesco's the author of Qigong, Essence of the Healing Dance, and Tao of the Ride, Motorcycles and the Mechanics of the Soul. Also, as chairman of the nonprofit Kahuna Valley Organization on Kauai, Francesco and his wife Daisy oversee various educational programs for children in the area of health, energy work, and self-empowerment. This podcast was originally recorded at a seminar that Francesco gave at Omega Institute in the summer of 2001, as part of a National Qigong Association annual conference. Francesco's got a rare gift of being able to put the ineffable into words. His insight and perspective comes from 30 years of teaching and practicing Qigong, and is just as relevant for people who've never done Qigong as those who've been doing it for years. He talks about how to take a more simple approach to the practice of Qigong and how it fits into your life. He explains the core of Qigong practice that involves the redefinition of self and repatterning of your relation with the world, allowing the inherent intelligence in your being to take over without you getting in the way. This podcast will be especially interesting for people who've begun practicing Qigong and started questioning what's really going on. And now, welcome to The Philosophy and Practice of Qigong.
My old teacher back in 1976, 77, when I lived in Hawaii for a couple of years, he used to tell me, you teach best what you need to learn most. And it always set with me, you know? I mean, I was a little teenager back then, so it was like, oh, like torturing my mind with that phrase. And as the years have gone by, I've come to understand that that's exactly what this Dharma is in our life. That's exactly what we're here to understand. Not that there's a path that you learn and then you grow, and then you excel, and you teach, and all this stuff's left behind, but we know that comes together, right? And you learn, and the more you learn, the more you realize that that's exactly the alignment that you've needed. It's exactly why you've spent the time doing that. Not to transcend it, not to exceed it in some way that you can elevate yourself, but simply so you can redefine and sweeten that lexicon, that language, that vocabulary that you so need to get yourself through whatever this lesson in life is. So when I think about stress management and stress reduction, and then I think about you teach best what you need to learn most, I say to myself, thank you for this opportunity to be able to develop this, because obviously, I need it really badly, because I've somehow crafted a life that is full of stress and pain and tension, and it's okay. I used to get frustrated. I used to think that, you know, maybe I was doing something wrong. Maybe I had to simplify it. Now that I learned all these great techniques from all these teachers over all these years, that I could somehow get out of that loop. But maybe it's as if we're born into a particular karmic pathway, and we have to just accept what that is. We have to trust that if it's going to be one of stress, if it's going to be one of challenges and of pain, and I hate to say that everyone in this room, on this planet, in this plane, is here to experience this. It's not to transcend it, at least my perspective. I see so many people trying to transcend, trying to get beyond, we're going to practice Qigong, and I'm going to do enough Qigong that I'm going to get beyond this karmic wheel, I'm going to get beyond this pain. Only to find out, you know, how many people have told me, over the years, you know, I practice and I practice and I practice and it still hurts. I practice and I practice and I just found out I've got cancer. I practice and I practice and I've still got this pain in my heart I can't shake. And they feel like they've done something wrong. They feel like they haven't got it. And so they'll go find another teacher and another system and another program. And then something happens. Something awakens in them and they realize that what all the training has been doing is helping to soften them to what that pain and challenge has been. Not so much to get rid of it, because it seems like when we set up that adversarial relationship to get rid of something, you're doing exactly what Qigong is designed not to do. Because what Qigong at its very core, at least in terms of Western science, I don't want to ruin this. What creates stress, right? What creates tension? When there is the sense of other, there is the sense of disparity and separation. The Freudian concept of ego, the concept of isolated self, separates us from the rest of the world. And until we can do something about that identity, that relationship with the world, we're going to always be at odds. There'll always be that dichotomy of other. There'll always be that sense of separation. And there's no way in physics to have tension unless you have two opposing forces that are either pushing or pulling, or in some relationship dynamically pushing and pulling. So Qigong is about redefining self. Qigong is a wonderful toolkit to help re-identify ourselves, re-establish a new relationship with the world, with other. And once we do that, then these lines of tension can start to be reestablished in a new way. I don't think we ever get rid of them, but we can start to soften them up and blur them up a little bit by reestablishing this sense of what ego is and remaining present with that ego, remaining conscious of how it's being used, how it's required in any given moment. So when we do our practice, and like Michael's wonderful exercise last night of just breathing in and expanding, why do we do these expansive exercises? Why do we do these breathing exercises? Well, amongst other things, they're helping to create a pattern and repattern that existing pattern that society, advertising, parents, the world has created to define that sense of self. Because the ego only exists in relationship to other things. So the ego can only exist when we define this world as a fixed and immutable entity. When we can change that ego self and start to expand it to include other things. That's that Buddhist side of Qigong, that heart-opening compassion side that can embrace the rest of other, the rest of what we see as outside ourselves. When the outside becomes part of the inside, the microcosmic orbit philosophy of that exercise is to see how the small reflects the large. As Michael talked about the hologram last night, these are so critical. These are subtle but very critical aspects of what the core of Qigong is. So when the masters tell us to sit and expand our lower dantian or to open up and expand the breath, within that practice is a repatterning, a reprogramming tool that helps us to expand and redefine our limits as a body, redefine and expand our limits as a mind, redefine and expand our limits as a heart. So we're no longer packaged within this space, but we can move out beyond it. So when we do Qigong exercises, when you stretch your arms, when you open up your hands, why are we doing this? We're sending that message to that brain, that ego space that has defined us down here. And we're trying to set up a pattern to trust that we go beyond so we can remove ourselves from the limitation. Even for a moment. People say, how long are you supposed to practice Qigong?
What hour and 17 minutes? 3 o'clock in the morning to a 4.
Some dude was selling a watch. I really loved it, though. And it, you know, it had the traditional hours of when the organ systems were working. It's beautiful. It's a great reminder. And it's a wonderful reminder that everything's at work and everything has its time and place in this dance. But I ask each of us to try and find what that clock is for you. Honor the traditions. Trust that there is a lineage of experience that has proven itself to be very powerful. But don't take it as an isolated set of information, as an isolated set of truths. Because this is what's called in the old way of giving away your qi. This is part of this stress concept of other. You can't give away your qi unless there's other. As soon as there's other, there's stress and there's tension. But there is that sense of saying, I honor a tradition. And if I embrace that tradition and pull it into my very being, then there's nothing that I'm giving away. But do you see that subtle switch? This is what we sometimes forget. We sometimes forget and we just simply accept things as face value. We simply accept those truths. Not that there's anything wrong with that truth, but it's your relationship with the truth. It's your relationship with that. It's your relationship with somebody telling you there's 3 dantians. Is it true or not? I don't care or want to even explore it. I'll trust it, and if it works for me, it works. But if you simply take it on face value, then you're not honoring the scientist that was the ancient sage that's within you. The ancient sages in the Taoist tradition were probably the most technological of the scientist's mind in history. Forget about the Renaissance in Europe and how Newton in that field of science broke things down into little bits and pieces. The only thing I liked about Newton was that I heard that an apple fell on his head. I love that. You know why? Because that's the only part of the Taoist tradition that I appreciate, that if the apple doesn't fall on your head, you don't buy it. You don't believe it. And that's what the ancient Taoists did. They worked on themselves as the factory. They worked on themselves as the laboratory. And that's what each of us is being asked to do. That's why each of us is here. That's why each of us can resonate with, you teach best what you need to learn most. Because if you want to break that wheel of stress and tension, you need to redefine and trust, not faith, but trust, what these principles of Qigong are about. What does it mean to understand Qi? What does it mean to look at the concept that all pain and disease comes from blocked or stagnant qi? I'd like to simplify that idea of disease and pain by using that phrase. I know there's concepts of deficiency and excess and imbalance, but I'm a really simple-minded person, so I like to try to go to things that I can hold in my mind and repeat and use. So when I think of all pain and disease comes from blocked or stagnant qi, then I only have one thing that is in my practice, and it's to understand blocked and stagnant energy and do whatever it takes to open up those blocks. Does it mean I have to learn specifically how to unblock each block? I don't think so. You can do that, and if you want to pursue these things at maybe higher levels, you can, but I don't think even higher levels is any better than lower levels. So I'm really lazy maybe deep down. I want to do the minimal amount of work I can to achieve my goals. And in that way, I'm going to simply get to a place where I can embrace fluidity of qi, embrace the flow of energy in my being. So I'm no longer looking at how something is imbalanced, or to what level it's imbalanced, or what percentage I'm off track, or what particular meridian it's on, but simply take it as a systemic prayer to open up the flow of qi. If your intention is put in that place, I trust that you will trigger an unfolding that will move you toward balance. And as you practice that, and as you maybe start to achieve those changes in your life, and you trigger those rebalancing mechanisms, maybe establishing those rebalancing patterns in your life, then you might get in touch with a new intelligence that comes into your world. Because it seems like we can activate this intelligence, this cellular, maybe atomic intelligence within us. But if you spend a lot of time trying to get that intelligence to kick off, you might be spending a lot of extra time than you have to, when in fact there might be a trick, there might be a simple pathway, which is to open up that global sense of balance in your being. Example, when somebody is taking a class and they come in saying, I've got this really bad tennis elbow, what do I have to do for it? And we'll show them some exercises, and they'll do some work, and then after some time they'll say, I can't believe it, my back pain is gone. I was working on the elbow. You see? You forget that working on things in a systemic way, in a more openly energetic way, is going to allow that inherent intelligence in your being to take over. It's going to allow that ego self, that limited self that has to look at everything this way, to free up this sort of peripheral vision, to all of a sudden it can take over, and that intelligence can start doing its work without you getting in the way. So I think we get in the way a lot. I get in my own way a lot. And I've been working on this for a long time. So I know that for me, the gift is to let go of the specificity of what we're doing in these practices. So what I'm proposing is to take a more simple approach to your practice and let your qigong be something that awakens that inherent intelligence and allow the trust. And so each time you do your practice and say, okay, now I'm going to be doing work on my mingmen and opening my mingmen. It's fun practice. It's good to do those kind of things. But maybe just for a moment, allow yourself to say, you know what? Forget about the mingmen. Okay, I'm going to work at bringing qi to my lower dantian. Practice, not all the time, but maybe once in a while, when you catch yourself in that need space to say, I'm doing this, to release it. Release that there's even a lower dantian. Release that there's a middle dantian. Release that there's an upper dantian. Maybe move toward a place where you can see every cell in your body as a dantian. Because I venture to guess that the ancient sages knew that. And in some places it's very clear that they talk about this factory, this laboratory, as a dantian, as a fluidly open field of energy that's in concert with the Tao. And that moved us into the Chan Buddhism, or the Zen attitude of who we are and what we are. But sometimes that's so hard to grasp when we live in a world of form. I want to know something. So that's where the dantians became really important. They became handles that we had to hold on to. And we live in a form world where we need to have these things. But I ask you once in a while to try to get into that place when you do your practice where you let go of the form, where you let go of that need to have things move a certain way. And in that moment, see how it feels. Release it. When you're moving this ball around, just you look around, see, make sure nobody's looking, but just go crazy. You know what I mean? Because there's that part of our brain that looks, I want to do things right. You know, I'm the oldest of 9 kids, and I was, you know, I was trained, I was going to be the medical doctor, I was going to do everything right. And I think there's a little bit of that in everybody, who you want to do it right. And doing it right limits us. doing it right takes us out of the present. You say, no, doing it right brings me right in the present because I'm so focused and I'm so intent that I'm going to do it the way I'm supposed to do it. What's happening when we talk about being present? We'll call this present. We have this temporal timeline that has a perspective of the past. Remember, time is really an illusion. And Qigong practice helps us to erase these time-space boundaries. We've all experienced it maybe in the simplest of ways, but we know that when we practice Qigong, there's a sense of time standing still. There's a sense of healing that takes place that can happen in that moment. We know people who've had spontaneous healings when they do practices like this. Time has changed for them. Einstein knew it, right? He knows that time is very malleable, and it's just how we perceive it that proceeds it along in this step-by-step, straight-line, angular fashion, when in fact time can be curved. Time shifts, stops, flows, folds upon itself. So when we look at what it means to be present in this place, it means that we are not giving away our qi to the past or giving our qi to the future. What does that mean? It means that when we are doing our practice and we say, oh, I'm going to do this right, like the way I'm supposed to be, like the way I was told, like the way I was told in school, like the way I was told by my parents, like the way I was supposed to do it. All of a sudden, you're no longer in this present space, but now you've given something away. You're giving your qi away, in one perspective, to the past. And another way of giving away the qi and not being in the present is to think about how the future is, which is what sometimes anxiety can do to us. We're worrying about the future. What's going to be? What's going to happen if I don't practice? Maybe you have a certain illness, and if I don't practice correctly, I'm never going to heal. In that case, healing is someplace in the future. So now we've moved this dot along here. So what happens is you want to start asking yourself where you are in this presence meter. So when we look about stress management and we look about pain management, we have to ask ourselves, how often are we in this place? How often are we in this present space along this illusory time space, past, present, future timeline? And I ask you to play with this idea when you practice Qigong. Play with the idea of how often am I in present space? How can this exercise bring me into this moment? And one great tool is to catch yourself when you're thinking about the past, thinking about the future. Not to intellectualize it so much, but to simply embrace it when you're doing your work, to feel. And if that thought enters into your mind, to simply move out that redefinition until you embrace it, and to keep going beyond until it becomes part of that field that you're creating. So the past can't exist at the past, but you can feel how that maybe child self is right here in this moment. How that future worry, you just embrace it in. That loving, compassionate heart can bring it into this moment, and now this moment embraces by expanding. And you redefine that sense of time. And you won't have that other. And now other is defined in this unified field. And it's no longer intellectual. It's that sense of warm, gooey, happy sense of things are flowing. And that's what makes life fun. That's what makes the game of this. Because like any game, it has a certain set of rules. But like any game, it should be joyful. And this game, there's no winning, but there's a sense of peace that comes when you can play and when you move in a dancing sort of fashion. So playing with time and space in a conscious way, helps us to cultivate the kinds of things that we want. When we talk about healing and transformation, when we talk about intelligence, when we talk about those things that come from the magic of, we'll say, coincidence, those things that happen in that moment, that metanoia, that sense of click, whooshing, you get that awareness. These can be cultivated. These aren't things that just happen. And as we practice, they happen and flit around like a butterfly flying into your garden. If you plant the right flowers, the butterflies come. It's no longer an accident. So we practice by planting these flowers in our garden, by opening up these redefinitions, by changing the way we view the world. And all of a sudden, things start to change. And what also changes is the way we perceive healing, the way we perceive stress and pain. We don't get rid of these things. I haven't met one person on this planet, and I've met great masters over 30 years of playing around with this stuff, and they all were as screwed up and full of problems as anybody I've ever met. Sorry to say. Okay, I'll tell it differently. I've met this really cool master on the mountain, and everything was perfect in his life, and he was totally sexual and happy and had everything he wanted. I haven't met him, or her, or it. Just doesn't happen that way. And we want to live in this fantasy that that's what's going to happen. And I wish it for everybody who wants that fantasy. I pray that that's what you discover. But what I've found is that if you're in this body, in this plane, this is just part of the trip. Part of the trip is to move in this thing and to get to that present space whenever you can and if you can. And even if it's for a split second, celebrate it. Have a party. Do something great. Tell your friends. Because that'll help trigger them and instill them and give them that real hope. Because real hope comes from being practical, being in touch with what's possible. But I do know that the more you do these practices, the more you work on these tools, that being present becomes now something that's almost like a transparent sheet that's in everything you do. Your Qigong practice doesn't become that practice you do for an hour or 15 minutes or 7 minutes any time in the day, but it becomes something that becomes mapped into everything that you do. Every breath you take, everything you do in your course of your day becomes Qigong. You want to reduce stress. You want to understand how to manage pain. It's to not put your practice apart from the present. It's not to give away your qi to your practice. But I practice every day for 2 hours and life still sucks. Wake up! What you've just done is you've just made your practice other. You've just created a separation between you and your practice. Don't let your practice be other. The most sacred thing. Let that moment, when you finish your exercise, say a little prayer and ask to be receptive to let it exist throughout your day. And play those games in your mind so you can say, how can I map this into everything I do? How can I map it into walking out this door and down the path? How can I map that presence that I've been cultivating, that qi sense and experience that I've been cultivating into my day? It's so valuable and it's so simple, but it's one of those switches that we seem to turn off because life in this planet is all about everything fitting into boxes, into time and space pieces. And that's what the ego does. That's what that sense of self that operates from the limited perspective does. It's a gift. We've been given this cool gift because we need the ego to move through this physical world. So it's the e-ticket to Disney World, right? It's the way we can play. It's the way we can make love. It's the way we can eat and savor all these physical things that happen in this short 70 to 100 years on this planet. But it's also that the other side is that it removes us from the sense of infinite. It removes us from that connection to the heart space, that compassion space, that soul perspective that we so need. That's what Qigong reminds us. That's what Qigong brings us back to. It brings us back to that place where we can allow the ego to have its place. And again, I use the ego very lightly in terms of how I define it. Qigong becomes that place where we can open beyond, and we can embrace, and we can let the heart expand. We can let the breath expand to include the breath of all of us in this room, and the breath of all the trees, and then the breath of the planet and the universe, and connect with that beautiful Tao that flows through all things. It's not esoteria. This is practical, living life. And when you flip that switch, things start to change. You begin to know things that you didn't realize you knew. You begin to be connected in ways that you weren't aware of before. And there's no straight line to connect these points. Time and space have been redefined. It's not magic. It's what we're being asked to do in this body with this intelligence. Whether the brain's in here or in the gut. But it's cool. That's nice to know. I think maybe someday in 100 years from now we'll discover that every single cell has a brain in it. We know genetically with the Human Genome Project that there's an intelligence in every chromosome, in every cell of our body. There's an incredible intelligence. Qigong is about awakening that intelligence. But I believe it goes even beyond that. I believe that Qi actually exists. I know we all know this and trust this, but I'll put it in words just so we can play. The Qi exists everywhere in equal amount. It's not about, there's lots of Qi by this tree, so I'm going to go over and hang out this tree. Or this person's got a lot of Qi, so I want to be by him. Get into that. Because I believe that Qi exists infinitely everywhere, in everything, in every cubic bit of space. And that if we can simply awaken that potentiality, we can simply embrace it, then we'll experience infinite Qi everywhere. Then every cell, every atom in the body becomes a Dantian. And every place we're at, every person we experience, can be that window into that infinite Qi field. I just can't resolve it any other way in my head. And so it's helped me to deal with these questions I've always had about why can Qi be over here a lot but none over here? And how can I be deficient in Qi? It just doesn't seem right. It seems so much easier to think that I have an infinite potential of Qi, and it's just simply for me to awaken that, to simply do my practice and allow Qi to express itself as healing, as a glowing, vibrant energy, as intelligence, as love. It's a little bit different, but it's exactly the same. When you talk about Qi flowing, maybe what we're doing is awakening that potential of Qi. And in our minds, we see it as flowing. When we talk about Qi in our lower Dantian and building and gathering that Qi, maybe what we're doing is simply awakening that potential. Maybe it's not coming in from anywhere. Maybe that's just how our minds see it. And that's beautiful. And metaphor is very valuable in this world. Poetry wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that. So we need poetry. So, as I said before, don't give away your ideas or your chi or your energy to things because that's what the theory is. But accept the theory as poetry. Truthful, deep, valuable poetry. So it can connect you up with the infinite, which is maybe intangible to grasp. So we have pathways to perceive the infinite. We have pathways to perceive the intangible by opening ourselves up to that space. Standing is only one kind of Qigong, right? A lot of people practice Qigong sitting or lying down. Some people practice Qigong while they drive the car. It's okay, it's good. Having the rain today has just helped us release our need to have a particular kind of form, that a particular movement is the key to Qigong. Remember, Qigong is happening infinitely everywhere, if Qigong is energy work, is working with our breath, working with our reconnection and redefinition to this infinite field of Qi, then it shouldn't be locked into how we move our arms or how we move our body. But since we have a physical body, it's really critical that we keep it healthy. That's the Taoist side of Qigong, that we keep our physical body fluid as a representation of Qi field flowing. We have to keep this physical body healthy. And whenever we experience imbalance, whenever we experience blocked or stagnant Qi, we have access to the rebalancing tools. So our Qigong practice becomes that ability to rebalance. An important part of Qigong is the visualization. Activating the visualization skills within us is so critical. Moving the physical body to help open up physical blocks, to allow Qi to flow in the meridian smoothly, is very important. The breath, moving the breath, learning to breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth and nose, exhaling, gently squeezing your lower dantian, is very important. The visualization skills, the ability to use that gift of image, is maybe the most critical aspect of Qigong. For within that pathway, within that ability, lies our real gift at learning how to guide Qi. As the old saying goes, where the mind goes, Qi follows. Yi Dao, Qi Dao. Where the mind can guide it, Qi will be guided. Is it moving Qi? Is it awakening that potential of Qi? It's all the same. But it's your charge. It's your opportunity. And it's your gift on this path to remember your potential, to remember who you really are, to redefine what has been defined for you and what you've been struggling with. Play with the sensation where the mind goes, Qi follows. Don't just believe it. Play with it. Practice it. Listen to it. See how it changes. See how you change. Each time we let go of a physical belief, sense that things have to be seen to be believed, they have to be touched to be real, each time we let go of that construct, you freed yourself one more step. Each game you play that lets go of your hold on the accepted reality, you've allowed a new reality to emerge. Each time you create a new pattern, you've let go of the old destructive pattern. So we play this dance of Qigong. We learn to become more sensitive. And in the process, we're allowing a new reality to emerge. Part of redefining who we are is to allow ourselves to emerge beyond our skin. Not just an intellectual space, but in that seemingly invisible Wei Qi field, that part of our being that extends beyond our skin. That part of us that exists in the radiation field of all things. It's sometimes thought that the immune system, that which keeps us healthy inside our body, Wei Qi field that emits beyond our body. Cultivating it through simple exercises can help us to extend our protective mechanism for immunity, so it doesn't just exist inside a complex cellular mechanism in our body, but it extends beyond our physical body, protecting us by integrating us into the world. Be the Taoist scientist, the Taoist sage that lives within each of us. as a potential. Practice, make it an empirical experience. Trust through tangibility, trust through practicing and experiencing. And each of us experiences it in the way that's unique to you, to your karma, unique to your past experience. Trust that it's okay. This is as we bring qi into our awareness, as we bring qi into our intention, it's beautiful to use that intention to guide qi where we need it in our body. Each action, a prayer, to bring awareness and intention and presence to our life. Nice, deep, intentional breath. The breath is our greatest gift to bring us back to the present moment. Bring us into this embracing present space. If we have the most pleasant disposition, but our body's in pain, our body's stressed in some way through some non-working system, then that stress is, of course, going to lead to our mental, emotional, spiritual stress. So that's why we need to balance the Buddhist aspect of Qigong, which is the spiritual development side, with the Taoist practice of Qigong and those philosophies that are more nature, physical, body-oriented. I'd like to also talk about how, again, simple principles of Qigong that we can do when we're sitting. When we are excessive and stressed and anxious, there's a common sense that bringing the qi down, as it's called, can help. And we'll do many practices in the temples in China where, in a sitting position, we'll feel this connection, we'll make this connection to the lower dantian, as if it's a resonator of some sort. Qi flows in infinite direction, infinite form, infinite variety. Bringing ourselves into this relaxed place where breath and body movements are in concert can be measured on the electroencephalogram, and it seems like when we do these type of things, it can be measured electronically to show that we move toward alpha, or between 8 and 14 hertz approximately. And in alpha state, the immune system seems to work at its optimal level, and the whole body seems to function properly. Memory works better, the body functions smoothly. So it should be our goal and charge to find whatever it takes to get us into that alpha state. Maybe that's a window into qi state, that place where we can move beyond the physical. And there's an emerging theory in science that the body has a memory of pain, a memory of repair work. So each time that we have a disease, each time that we need repair from a break or a sprain or a cut, the body has a memory to what extent that repair work was done. So scar tissue is one expression of that memory, but it's believed that this memory goes deeper, maybe genetic, maybe some memory function that science doesn't necessarily understand at this point, but it knows to what extent it hasn't finished its work. So we are walking around with these post-its on our body, where our brain, our body, knows what unfinished work needs to be done. And as we continue to overwhelm our body, as we continue to work in a stressed space, we're not allowing the immune system to finish unfinished business, so it continues to get overwhelmed. And this may explain why bodies shut down, seemingly for no reason. But when we enter alpha, the immune system begins to do the work that was unfinished. And this, to me, shows such incredible potential and such incredible justification of why we need to bring ourselves into this space. Because as the scar tissue gets repaired, as the unfinished repair work from a sprain from when you were 15 years old, or a flu that did some damage when you were 20, starts to get repaired, your immune system has extra work that it can be doing on something that you need right now. The immune system has extra energy to keep you strong. And qi isn't spent managing some old work, but your qi can now be used to do what your mind, your hopes and intentions need in this moment. Even though we may have two different symptoms, it might point to a singular imbalance. This is why I ask that we always think of things systemically. Get out of that trap where we start looking at things so specifically and work on that whole body, that whole field, this whole Wei Qi field you have and who you are. Let your practice open up. Because when you do, that intelligence takes over and it knows what's out of balance. We think we know. I know so many people who think they have a problem and then they'll go to a master and master says, that's not your problem at all, it's over here. Or a doctor will tell them that. And so we sometimes get fixed in a certain way of thinking when in fact there's another intelligence that knows and we need to let ourselves free into that intelligence. The rest of your life goes so fast. Let Qigong be the thing that brings you into an elegant slowness to honor that yang aspect of who we are, that masculine, formless. Let Qigong be an elegance in your life. Play with that dance. But I believe that this magnetic qi energy that can come from our palm can be very powerful in these kinds of swiping. We know about any kind of pain we have, we can work on wiping past areas like that. We know that with headaches, we can do some gentle moving of energy. Working on a whole systemic flow of energy through your body like this can be very healthy. And sometimes I like to talk about how it's brushing a comb through hair. We don't know where the knots are in the hair, but we just keep combing until it runs smoothly. So I believe when we move through those fields, there's an intelligence that allows that energy to flow smoothly. Remember, qi is infinite everywhere. We're moving through this field of qi. These exercises are teaching us about how to get in touch with the qi around us. Qi comes from what we drink and eat, breathe, what we see, who we interact with. So these exercises, we can all sit down and relax. These exercises are all about reminding us how to interact with that field of qi around us. When we open up qi, it's we're becoming who we are. When I talk about actualizing our potential, some friend in the front row said she's wondering why her sense of smell has opened up and she can sense this sensation of sweetness. And this is what happens. We have been living in this much space, right? When I was a kid, I used to always love when my science teacher said, you know, we're only using 10% of our brain. I love that, you know? I mean, who measured it? Who figured that one out? It doesn't matter. I love it because metaphorically, it's exactly what's happening. We're only using a small part of who we are. And qi is the window into our potentiality. Learning about qi is giving us the tools, the handle, to learn about that part of us that's been asleep. When I talk about being in the present, that's sort of a psychological way of looking at things, but when we become complete, when we become whole, when we can start living in a place where we're not drawing upon the past and being tortured by our childhood and our karma of the past, and we're not being tortured by the anxiety of worrying about the future, we are all of a sudden awake enough to listen to what's happening. We're awake enough to sense that part of our even olfactory system that we haven't been able to access. And sense of smell is traditional in a lot of meditation. There are certain meditations that awaken that. And the olfactory system is very curious because it's the one sense that goes directly to the old brain without having any intermediate processing. That's why smells can do such incredible things for us in terms of triggering memories. One aspect of the infinite, whatever we can do to open up our potential, we need to do it. We're being asked. In times like now, when we see the imbalances in the world, in societies, politics, and governments, the pain that exists around the world, we're being asked to really live that idea of the hologram. Because like the Tibetans, each prayer is for the whole planet. When a Tibetan prays, they don't say, oh, I hope my mother gets better. They say, may the world get better. May every sentient being get better. And so when we practice Qigong, it really is being asked of us to open up our prayer to the world. So as we redefine ourselves into this consciousness, when we redefine ourselves as this universal self, when we do these exercises, sure, your smells are going to be triggered because universal consciousness seems to want you to know more and to trust more. So when we get these intuitions, when each of us has this cool thing that happens in our life when we practice, it's your gift to say, it's okay, you're on the right path. That's what we're being asked to listen to. Being asked to listen to those things that are happening, because they're happening all the time. There's some meditations that you can smell roses. I remember back in the 70s, I would do some, and I swear I smelled roses, and I was nowhere near a rose. Why? Because there's a part of you that can awaken that aspect, so we're guided to keep doing growth-oriented things. I believe that we're able to create new patterns, because we can't really adequately deal with the old patterns. We see that Western psychology is very limited in its ability to get people to change old patterns. I don't know about you guys, but I know tons of people who've been in therapy for years working on those patterns, and they go, oh yeah, you know, that's great. I've been 15 years working on this problem. God, let's forget about working on old patterns, and let's start mapping new patterns into our life, new growth-oriented patterns into our life. If we can't adequately deal with old patterns, if that's part of our problem, then don't do it. The Taoists will tell you, stop going up against the wall. The river flows around it. It doesn't flow through it. It takes a long time for a river to cut through a rock. So set up a new pattern. Shortcut. What's wrong with shortcuts? Find a good way to just set up new growth-oriented patterns in our life. And that's what the gift of these exercises can be. It's not about learning millions of new ones. Just find what feels right for you. Find one or two exercises that feel right for you. And within that is the infinite. Remember, the infinite exists within the infinitesimal. A single move can be your work for the rest of your life. So that's what works for you. Some people say, you know, I have this one or two moves I do all the time, and that's all I have. And what else should I be learning? I go, you like it? Yeah, it feels great. Do it! Nothing else to learn. But if you're curious and you want to learn more, go for it. But the truth exists in each thing. Infinite truth exists in each thing. It's for you to connect with that in yourself. It's for you to connect with that in that move. And as humans, we like things, and so go with what you like. There's no right or wrong. There's no better or worse. I wish there was. It'd make life a lot easier. For you to discover what that is. And we share the different moves because that's just part of the 31 flavors of ice cream that are out on the counter. Find which one you like. You know? Find which move feels good.
In a talk by Francesco Garipoli, president of the nonprofit Qigong Institute, which is dedicated to Qigong research and education. We invite you to find out more about Qigong at the Qigong Institute website, www.qiginginstitute.org, Qiginstitute.org. Thanks for listening.